Welcome once again to this episode of FBC Pastors Talk as we continue our series of interviews on suffering. And joining me today is a dear, dear brother in Christ, Dale Woodruff. Dale and his wife Lois, I think a little over 4 years ago, became members of our church, and his son Jerry and his wife Kathy, I think shortly after, became members of our church. And just the whole Woodruff family has just been an immense blessing to our body. And but the reason Dale's on today is just to talk about some heartache, obviously, that occurred in his life a little over a year ago as his wife Lois, of almost 63 years, correct, right, passed away a year ago on June 5th. And So thank you, brother, first of all, for coming on and talking to us about this. Something difficult, but obviously just talking to you the other day on the phone, the Lord has used this in your life, and I just look forward to hearing how, you can encourage us and remind us of some truths and how the Lord used it in your life. So I thought we'd just start by just talking for a few minutes about your relationship with Lois and how special that was. But also at the same time, you reminded me the other day that you know these things are going to happen. You and Lois even had the relationship where you had talked about the real possibility or the likely possibility that one would pass away before the other. So you knew it mentally, you knew it cognitively, and even spiritually, both of you ready for to go and meet the Lord, but yet nothing can prepare you for it in some regard. So go ahead and
okay, yeah. Thanks, Jared. I hope I can stay together long enough to do this. But let me give you some background to start with. Lois and I met each other in Sunday school class when we were 12, 13 years old. And this was in Odin, Indiana. And we didn't have anything going at that age, but a little later in life, crazy things kind of happened, and my brother was going with her sister and my older brother, and they asked us to double date with them, and we did that. I think I was maybe 15 and she was either 15, she's a little bit older than me, but heck yeah, I ain't doing anything. So we went on our first date, and that turned out to go on for a long time. And there was something about it. We just knew that that was the right thing to do, and that God had placed us in that spot. And we went together for a few years, and then in 1956 we got married. And then we were together about, as you said, about almost 63 years before she passed away.
And 70 years overall, the total relationship, right?
Yeah, the total relationship was over 70 years. And it's interesting when you think about it, how bonded you can get as a couple. Mm. We've done everything together. Mm. But she had health issues, I believe, starting in 64, when we had transferred up here by my company to the Akron area. Wasn't cancer at that time, had other problems, and got those fixed, and we went through that period of time. And then in 1987, as a matter of fact, it was on my birthday, 1987. She had operation for hysterectomy, and they found cancer, ovarian cancer in stage 4. And the oncologist at that time that she went to after that told her she had about 6 months to live, and that was in 87. And she told the surgeon that, and the surgeon said, well, this guy's not God. He don't know. He says, you live your life and stay positive. what she did, and then from that point on, went through chemo and different things, and then later, about a year and a half later or so, I had a pancreas problem, and I was in another hospital for 31 days, and you could say, I guess, that we were in different hospitals together. And she was in a couple of days then, these kind of things will test your faith, and we tried to stay strong and stay in prayer, and with God's help, we got through it, and we had lots of ups and downs over the years. And once you experience initial cancer, sometimes it carries through. And she went through different surgeries after that. Some of them were spread out for over the years. And in 2005, I believe it was, she was diagnosed again with cancer. And so at that time, they gave her 6 months again. So we kept getting these 6 months intervals. Back to the surgeon, and don't pay attention to that stuff. You know, you beat it this far. So they found a chemo at that time that would knock it out. And she, after a couple years, was declared cancer-free. But that didn't last forever. 2 years ago, she had breast cancer, maybe three now, I'm not sure. And got through that. We went to oncologist, and he was pretty good at her age. He gave options, and started throwing out percentages of reoccurrence and so forth. And he left the room. We talked about it a little bit. She says, I'm not going through radiation and all that at my age. I'm not going to do it. And she didn't. And then in 19, June the 5th, 19th, she died totally of a different reason, you know. She went with, I suppose layman's term, you'd call it a stroke. They had big medical term, about a mile and a half long, and she only lasted 3 days after that. So, but before that, you know, there's old saying, if you go through these hardships, it'll either make you or break you. And if you're a Christian, it'll test your faith and it'll make you stronger. I'm convinced of that. Our faith grew, and we were able to handle it together. And life goes on, and
that's a particular challenge you face now. Is here you had this, you know, Lois, this spiritual warrior in of her own right.
Yes.
You know, all these things she's gone through, and you able to, in many ways, her teaching you by her response and you encouraging her, so this mutual encouragement
right.
going on,
that's
how
right.
vital.
That's correct.
And then so it speaks to that. But now, here you are. You've now on your own, so to speak, as far as without that vital partner. So how has the last year then been a particular challenge in that way, as you now have to face this alone?
Well, I have my ups and downs. That's for sure, and. Of course, this winter has been a long winter with the pandemic and being confined to home and all of those kind of things. But fortunately, we had talked about funeral arrangements and all these things. You know, we were very open with each other, no hiding the pea, so to speak. And we talked about funeral arrangements. We talked about who was going to handle the funeral, and that was a no-brainer. She wanted Pastor Ray to do that. There was, and preparing for either one of us, because, you know, we don't have crystal ball. So we had wills made and a living will made, and we didn't know when we were doing these things how important that would be to whichever one of us was left, which turned out to be me, of course, but it made a lot of decisions easier, both from the funeral and how that was going to go, like a living will can be very important, because it wasn't a matter of us, Jerry and I and family, making a lot of these decisions. She had made them prior to this situation, and that really worked out nice. Made a lot easier on everybody. So, now that I'm in the real world now, and trying to, especially after the funeral's over and everybody goes home from out of town, and people from Indiana were up here, and we spent a lot of time over at Jerry and Kathy's, and thank God for them. And then I go home to an empty house. And when you do that, reality sets in big time. I never knew a house could be so quiet. But boy, is it was that it was empty, and it was hard to get used to. And suddenly I was just very much alone, and something I had to kind of learn to deal with. And to tell you the truth about it, I still have a problem occasionally, you know, a year later. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's just an empty feeling that you have. It's just a void there that can't be filled now. I don't know. But the real world really sets in. And thank goodness for the church and brothers and sisters there, and even the previous church that, you know, we went to.
We'll talk about, I think the other day on the phone you even mentioned to me I can think of three different things you said that have helped. Like, you'll never replace Lois, and I think we talked about how, you know, a void is there, and that is real, and there's a sense in which you cannot do anything about that to replace her. But yet we as Christians can sorrow, but yet still have joy, or we can sorrow and still have a relationship with the Lord at the same time that continues to go on, and He sustains us through that. And you talked about, I thought it was interesting how you talked about your relationship with the Lord, and how, what did that look like afterwards, and how did you find refuge in your relationship with God during that time?
Well, make a long story relatively short, I guess. Lois and I actually found the Faith Bible Church in the newspaper. Mm. Got online and looked at the theology. And I told Lois, and I sent out Jerry as a scout. Mm-hmm. And he came back, and I said, well, how was it? And he said, well, what I seen was pretty good. So we went then, and back in June, about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And at that point, we were made so welcome at Faith Bible Church. We walked in that door, and faces were different, but so friendly, and just the welcome mat was rolled out. So we went two more Sundays, and on the way home that Sunday from the third Sunday, Lois looked at me and she said, I think we found a home church. And I said, I think you're right. And we've been there ever since, and of course we got in a membership class, and we joined, and Jerry and Kathy joined us, and they So we've had a great relationship, and I can't tell you how valuable that is, especially if you lose a loved one. Mm-hmm. Those people and that church just came forward, and they fed us for, I don't think Kathy had to cook for a week, and at least a week. Mm-hmm. And we had them they call, and, you know, the relationship there has just been super, and their hearts just went out to us. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the pastors, yourself, and Ray and Mike and Carl, but it's just been a blessing of how that's all worked. And it's like we were sent there.
Yeah.
I feel like we were. Yeah. In truth.
And I think that's very important, because you have a family. You're very close to your family, your biological family, obviously Jerry and Kathy and other family members, and they play such a vital role in your life and not do now, but yet you still see the vital importance of the local church and how there's a sense in which that can't be that is so vital too, you know. And I think we need to fall back on, we need both, you know.
Need your immediate family, and you need your church brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't know what people do that come from kind of a different family how they are able to cope with mm-hmm. with some of this stuff. And, you know, some people don't.
Hmm.
I can think of an instance of a friend of mine. He lost his wife, and after a short period of time, he went into seclusion.
Hmm.
He just couldn't handle it. And I don't know whatever happened to him. I tried and tried and tried to talk to him, and I talked to his kids, and they said, "Oh, he's all right."
Hmm.
Well, I never seen him again. What happened to him to this day, I couldn't tell you.
Hmm.
And then I've seen Jared. I've seen at work. We had a fellow that had a tragedy in his family, and. He actually got angry with God, and he wouldn't go to church.
Hmm.
So don't let those things happen. You know, the hurt's not going to go away, but you have to learn to manage it. And I don't think you can do that on your own.
Hmm. Yeah.
You really need the Holy Spirit to help you.
Hmm.
And believe me,
yeah.
I have leaned hard in prayer and on guidance from God to get through this thing.
So, Dale, something interesting you said to me the other day when we were talking about how the Lord has sustained you through this is that you don't recall, has it been a particular passage or insight or truth that has really got you through, but it's been more of this overall relationship you have with the Lord. Just a continuation, really, of your day-by-day, being in the Word, being in prayer, and maybe just leaning more into the theology and the bigness of God that you already held to, but yet now you're just clinging to it that much stronger. So the providence of God and the sovereignty of God has been huge for you through this, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Just let me say this, that I can't remember not going to church. And a lot of the teachings and everything are embedded in you. You may not necessarily remember all the scripture and the verses and those kind of things, but I think it's embedded in your soul through the Holy Spirit. And I think that's happened, and those truths come out when you're behind the eight ball, so to speak, you know, and when... I still have problems, you know. I don't know if I'll ever get over this or not, and I think it's okay that that you don't. Might be a little disappointed if I did. You know,
after and just all to be clear, by getting over it, it doesn't mean that you're speaking of, again, not being angry with God or questioning God, but rather that unavoidable ache and hole that's there because of the loss, but yet you can have a peace and resting and knowing that God, there's a good purpose in it, and you've come to accept that part, but yet still having the sorrow and the pain, and so both are existing side by side, if I hear you right.
Yeah, that's right. I'll just give you a little more background. I've studied and taught Bible for at least 35, 40 years, seriously, you know. And then Jerry went off and got a master's degree from Grace Theology Seminary. And after he came home with that, I had a new source of scripture and I had a lot of questions. And we talked it through and he gave me scripture and we got to what we had talked about providence and sovereignty and of God, and
light bulbs went off for you.
Oh, they did. They did. And then I went back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis and started reading through again. And these truths, they jump out at you. Once that's embedded in your head, reading scripture takes on a new new meaning and a new understanding. It did to me. And once I got those things through this thick head of mine, it opened up a whole new new theology and the way I thought about things.
And I can see it's even prepared you then, how well it prepared, if I'm hearing, one of the big things I'm learning from you as I listen is just the fact of how vital it is to have a theology in place to prepare you for the difficulties. And not, I mean, obviously we always are reacting and grow through it, but yet to have that foundation going into these things is so vital. And that's really served you well by God's grace that you've had that foundation. So,
amen to that. Yeah. It truly has. And I fall back even today on Bible verses. I've got in my top desk drawer, I keep a couple pages of my favorite scripture. I can't, unfortunately, I can't remember like I used to. But sometimes I'll get those and read through them. And that helps. And I fall back on Ephesians 2 a lot. And there's a message in there that we're saved. Of course it says we're saved through grace and by faith, but you go ahead and read the rest of that and don't take it so much out of context, and you get a total different meaning there, and you're not saved by works, you're saved for works. John 10, I can think of, there, if God can be is for me, who can be against me? You know, those kind of things, they really mean a lot.
Yeah.
They mean a lot.
And they're more real now to you, or more real to you now than they ever have been.
Oh, boy.
So.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they sure are. Yeah.
So, Dale, what would you say then to someone who is going through something similar to yourself and struggling and wondering why does it still hurt? Or will the void be filled in that way? And I mean, how would you encourage them? I mean, you've encouraged them already so much, but anything you would add that you haven't said that you would say to encourage someone going through?
I would just say, stay in the Word and talk to the Lord about it, because He's a good listener. And just remember, it's the will of God and His providence and the sovereignty of God as to why we are where we are. And I put a lot of weight in that. And looking back, and I know this is not a very comforting thought, but when you get older, most likely you're not going to live forever on this earth. You know, you're going to, like Lois and I talked, you know, we talked about physical death, that one of us was going to go first and leave the other one. And why God took her first, I don't know. But I know that he is sovereign and he has purpose for everything that he does. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard reality, but that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. That's what Scripture says. That's what the Word says.
And I was just going to say, I appreciate that, just simply taking God at His Word. And it doesn't mean that there won't be struggles and difficult days and needing help for God to increase your faith. But that comes through the Holy Spirit, as you said. I think that's really encouraging.
But the people have not only Faith Bible Church, but my church brothers and sisters from other churches, they've been a lot of encouragement.
Yeah.
And the young people, we are so fortunate to have the young group that we've got. Those kids call me, and I call them kids. They're out of college, and some of them got jobs now, but they're still kids to me. And they call me, and we talk, and come over to the house. A bunch of them came over just a few weeks ago and brought pizza, and we sat around and ate to hang out. And, you know, I just love that. It's why they're doing that. This little geezer, I'm not real sure, but it doesn't matter. They do, I sure thank them for that.
No, and I'm sure they're benefiting from that as you are from them. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, being around a godly man like you, an older man, and who's and you modeling for them how to go through something like this. So I think that's invaluable. But one last question for you, Dale, and it's kind of changing gears. But along that line of passing on wisdom to the earlier generation, I mean, you've seen a lot over the years. You're an elder statesman in the faith. You've seen a lot in society and culture and in the church. I guess just in general, looking at the Church of Jesus Christ in the year 2020, what would you have to say to us as younger men, younger ladies in the church? As you look at the church, where it's at, where it's heading, what does the church need to hear today, do you think?
If I had to sum it up in just a few words, I would say, stay with the Word. Because this, over the years, there's been a lot of changes. In the 8 decades that I've been around, you know, in my early life, we didn't have electricity, we didn't have inside plumbing, and we lived in a different culture and different time, and I think that World War II came along. And that was a game changer, culturally. I really believe it is. I'm not an expert, okay? But I can only tell you what I see and seen. And it's just real easy. The boys went to war, and the women went to work. Most of the boys came home, and the women stayed at work. And that opened up a whole new culture, I think. Never heard of a divorce before those times, especially in our, and I'm relating this to when I was a kid in farm country, and where everybody helped each other and we were neighbors that were neighbors. But it opened up a new culture. And I'm not sure the churches have dealt well with it. Then after that, over the years, I have seen and went to different churches, and some for a long time, served on boards and all that kind of good thing. But I've seen the drifting away from the Word. And I've seen quite a bit of that. And I've seen the total abuse of of the Word. There's some churches, and I think they're trying to be politically correct, and that might grow your church, I'm not sure. But it won't grow you spiritually, and it won't grow you theologically right. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to be, after we're sanctified, or after we're justified, we're sanctified, and we're supposed to grow in Christ and stay with the Word. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest problem I see. Mm-hmm. These churches just aren't staying with the Word. And it just happens, I've started reading John MacArthur's book on Revelation. And I'm in chapter 7, and the first three chapters about the seven churches, mm-hmm. and the letters he wrote to them. In the first five churches, he talks about getting away from the Word and mm-hmm. and worshiping idols, and that takes on a lot of meaning, mm-hmm. and a different meanings for different people of what that is. Mm-hmm. But I've seen it. And out of the seven churches, one was lukewarm and the other one was good. And Philadelphia was the only one he didn't admonish for any reason, and they stuck with the Word. And I think it's so important that the Word is the Word's given to us by God, and we should follow that Word and not start building it. I think in 1 Timothy? He talks about us test all things to the Word. And I think that's what we should be doing.
Yeah. That's good counsel, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll do our best to live up to it. Well, we're thankful that in God's providence that He directed you here, and we get to be part of your church family for the last leg of God, Lord, using you.
So. Gonna be for the duration.
Yeah. Well, thank you, brother, for coming on. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us for this interview on suffering in our Pastor's Talk series. Again, I hope you were as encouraged as I was of hearing Dale and how the Lord has, in His providence, brought him and Lois to Faith Bible Church and prepared him throughout his life for this particular time in his life, and how His Word and the truths of His providence and sovereignty have sustained him during this time. So join us next time as we continue our series on suffering. Check out our website, faithcant.com, for previous episodes and more information about our church. And feel free to contact us anytime with any questions that you may have. Thank you.